You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
We can't simply go on as we have before, treating all kinds of environmental externalities as if they didn't exist, essentially assuming that water, clean air, that all of these things can be taken for granted because the Earth is so large that it will automatically produce these in sufficient quantities for us to consume. And what that means is that we've got to be better stewards of the planet.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, 7 billion people and counting, meeting the challenges of the global population explosion.
The global population is quickly rising, and with a headcount of more than 7 billion people, world leaders are focusing on ways to meet the needs of our growing populace. With concerns about food and water supplies, energy needs, education, and human rights, Senior Fellow Homi Karaz says we need to plan today for the demands of tomorrow.
It's both good news and bad news. And the good news is that the reason why we've got to 7 billion is because people are living longer. People are having children because they want children. They think that this is an age where they can afford to bring up a larger family. So, in many ways, people are being able to live out their dreams in a way they never could before. And of course, we've saved so many lives. Child mortality has dropped dramatically from a variety of health interventions. So all of that is good news. The bad news part is that with so many more people on the planet, it does pose some stresses on food, on energy, on carbon emissions, on water, and obviously those have to be managed.
Homi, we've been talking about a number of these issues, food and water supplies, energy, education, human rights, long before we even got to this 7 billion mark. So what you're saying now is that we need institutions to manage both the people and their needs.
In the post-war era, we did have a set of institutions which were largely drawn up by the United States. There were financial institutions like the IMF and the World Bank. There was the United Nations to handle security issues. There was the World Trade Organization. So the World Health Organization. We've had a number of these institutions, but what is happening is that as more countries become more powerful, they don't feel that they're represented sufficiently in these international institutions. They weren't all there at the creation of these international institutions, so they don't feel that they need to play by the same set of rules, and they're trying to rewrite the rules.
So we're talking about emerging economies here, and they certainly have a stake in how this is all managed.
I think emerging economies have to understand that along with their increase in size and global footprint comes additional responsibilities, that they certainly have a right to development, but they have the same right to development in a fair way that doesn't impose costs on others. And they can't constantly hark back to the way in which the developed countries did things because we know that those are unsustainable paths for the world as a whole. So they do have to develop new paths for development that are far more sustainable.
Well, then what's the role for the U.S. and other developed nations going forward?
They need to be the ones who shape this new world, because in most cases they're the ones who have the major say in existing institutions. And we will probably go down the road of changing existing institutions rather than constantly inventing new institutions, which just adds overlays of bureaucracy. That means that those that have the power have to recognize that giving up the power to increase the sort of the global sum is a better way forward than trying to maintain power but having the institutions being less effective.
Homi, you've also done research that looks at raising as many people as possible into the middle class, which of course would be probably the best of all worlds. But this also comes with its own set of challenges.
At the same time as we have rapid population growth, we also have a very rapid expansion of the global middle class. And that middle class wants many of the same things that the rest of us already enjoy. I mean, they want things, they want stuff. And that all requires natural resources. So they want to have their own houses, they want to have washing machines and refrigerators and cars, obviously all the latest electronic equipment. And in order to produce all of that, there will be pressure on the world's natural resources. That poses some challenges, both in terms of the availability and access to these resources, but it also poses some challenges because in trying to get access, many of these natural resources are in some of the poorest, least well-governed countries of the world, and it opens up big issues of bribery, corruption, and other forms of bad governance, which can really harm development over the long term.
Well, Homi, what about extreme poverty? What becomes of the poor? If we're focusing on raising as many people as we possibly can into the middle class and securing enough food and energy and water for most of us, will the impoverished be forgotten? Will their circumstances be diminished? Can we eradicate poverty going forward?
I'm extremely optimistic about this. I think that in Southeast Asia, which used to be one of the poorest regions of the world, extreme poverty is now almost eliminated. I think in large parts of South Asia, extreme poverty is it's certainly coming down very rapidly, and it's not outside the bounds of imagination to think that even in the subcontinent of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that we could eradicate extreme poverty within a generation. And then the big challenge turns to Africa. And what is happening on that continent in terms of more democratic governments, improved macroeconomic stability, a greater export orientation, and faster growth, along with the great successes in reducing mortality rates from the HIV/AIDS pandemic and other diseases which have really crippled Africa, I think the prospects for that continent look quite good as well. So I actually see that despite rising population growth, the numbers of absolute poor in this world will continue to decline. And I'm very optimistic about the possibilities for that.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.